By Eretav Shinayin Tes. So what's the background? The background is at the end of last week's Parsha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is upset, right? He's upset. Let's just look at the some of Psukim there. The end of Shmos. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu is now returned. In other words, he came initially to Paro, and the result was that Paro says no more straw. Right? Bad news. He's coming back 3 months later, 6 months later. He's coming back. Hashem sends him back, and as he and Aaron are coming towards Paro, right? Yiru Shotri Bnei Yisrael Osam Bara Lemolo Sigrumi Livnechem. Right? Because the Shotri Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish policeman. Right, they see what he called that. It's they see how bad it is for their brethren. I mean, they're responsible for them, right? And they're the ones who try to encourage them to work harder, and they're the ones who are getting beaten, right? Vayifkuu es Moshe ves Aaron nitzavim likrasam betzeisam eis Paro. And as they come out of Paro's palace, they can see Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen coming. Vayomru aleihem yireh, right? Yireh Hashem aleichem. V'yishpot asher yivashtem esrecheinu b'nei faro v'nei avadav laseischer v'yadam lahargenu. In other words, Hashem, see what you've done to us. You've messed us over, right? That's you came, right? You showed up and you made things worse for us, right? V'yashav Moshe el Hashem. So Moshe in turn says to Hashem, v'yomra Hashem, lama harayos lama zeh shalachtani? Why have you made things worse for the Jewish people? Why have you sent me? From the time that I came to Paro, to daber bishmecha, to speak in your name, all these things have gotten worse, right? For the Jewish people, you haven't saved them. Now you will see, now you'll see what I will do to Paro. Right? Now you'll see what I'm going to do to Paro. But and the Chazal Medayik Ata Sireh. Now you'll see. I see the Ata here with the ayin here. That means now you'll see, but you won't see the battles against the 31 kings of the land of Canaan. You won't take them into the land of Canaan.
Because of this,
right? Because of this, and we'll see some. I don't know if we have it here or not, but we may mention it that it could be that it's not a punishment. But it's just that your reaction this way, the way they're going to go out of Mitzrayim, or the process through which they're going to leave Mitzrayim, is not going to be the same as it would have been had you accepted, that this is that trusted me, that this is the way that it has to be, etc. Because of that, perhaps you won't be able to take them to Eretz Yisrael because it won't be appropriate. You won't be able to lead them in. They won't have reached. The final goal, right? They wouldn't have reached the final level that they need in order to be able to enter into Israel under your leadership. But that's okay. That's a separate story. And then it starts off. The next parsha starts off. Vayidaber Elokim, right? Our parsha. Vayidaber Elokim on Moshe. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Dibur is always really called a strong terminology as opposed to Amira. And Elohim is always Midas Adin, and what do you call it? And the Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Shem of Rachamim. Shem of Rachamim. So it's Din and then Rachamim. Dibur Elohim and Amira Hashem. Okay, so that's what we're holding. And what does he say to him? He says, Ve'ira el Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'Kel Shakai. I appeared to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov with the Mida of Kel Shakai. That Mida of Kel Shakai is, well, like Ramban says, is the Shodei des Amarocha. In other words, everything I did for them, well, I shouldn't say everything, but the general way that I guided their lives was within using the rules of Teva. This always, let's just discuss this just for a scooch. Because, right? Shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. But living life according to what he called the Shem Havaya, right? Right, seeing life on that level, lo nodati lehem. I wasn't known to them. Not that they didn't know the name. Of course they knew the name. And of course, also we know that, for instance, even the Chumash, we see Sarah became young again in order to give birth to what you call to Yitzchak. So that's an ace. That doesn't happen, right? You can put on as much, Eve Arden as you want. It's not going to help, right? She became young again. And from Chazal, we know that Avram was Zochet to Nisim. Zochet Nisim, the Kivshana Eish,
right? When he got thrown into the fiery furnace, he survived. So, or what do you call it? When he threw his dust, right? Dust at his enemies, it turned into bows and it turned into arrows and lances and stuff like that. So it's not that they didn't know that Hashem would do nisim, but really, which again, it seems like, you know, the Ramban is saying the halakha with all teva. I mean, again, even in the Chumash in terms of Sara, I don't think that's so tevadic. Right, and certainly from Chazal, Avraham Avinu did experience lots of nisim, but it wasn't as though that was the general pattern of life, right? In other words, they knew that if they were in a pickle, so Hashem would do what was necessary in order to get them out of that pickle, or the kibshin aish this that the next thing. They knew Hashem would intercede. Right? They knew Hashem would intercede. But that wasn't the general pattern of life. They recall their assumption and their ratzon. They wanted to live on a plane of life of Teva and show that Hashem is in what's called Teva also. Teva is Elohim. Right? HaTeva is Elohim. So Kel Shakai is like overcoming that, what he called in the world of Teva, right? When you're so firmly attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so firmly attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then even in the world of Teva, right, Hashem carves it out in such a fashion, he shapes it so that all the difficulties of life, all the things that could be dangerous for you, or etc., or the things, the brachas he wishes to give you, so you skip over the bad points. You skip over, it's like Lahavdil El Falufi Avdolz. Remember Super Mario, right? Do you remember that?
That was the
video game, right? Yeah. The video game. So, you know, like, we call Lahavdil El Falufi Avdolz, you get the mustachioed guy there, you go, right? He's going along, and all of a sudden he comes like a hole. Comes like a hole, right? And then we call, and then you press the button, whoop! He's over the top of the hole. So what he called, that was their life. What he called, they went to the makolet. They paid the electric bill. I mean, whatever.
We live it now.
Right. But you could tell that their lives were blessed because they were so close to Hashem. Like their lives were always butter side up, but not butter side up. Their lives were, you saw that Hashem.
That's our challenge.
That's the idea. That's the life that we live, and that's what they wanted to show. They wanted to show that you don't have to live in a world where you know every day you get up in the morning you take water out of the faucet for you with water for the mitzvah, it's blood. A frog comes out of what he caught out of the Nile, you hit him, rub it all over the place. Yeah, what do you call it? The dust turns into what he called into lice and stuff like that. You don't have to live in a world where the whole seder of teva is totally shattered, etc. Okay, they didn't need it and they didn't want it. Right here, we were coming to the grand education, moment for the Jewish people of Bechlal, for the world. That's the Esther Makos. Right, the Esther Makos as the grand education, symposium for the Jewish people in the world. So then you got a sound and light show. Right? You got Dan Svadeh, Akinim, Arav, Derech, Shin, you got the Esther Makos. But then there was Makolet, there was electric bill, Right? Okay, fine. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and the unusual thing is that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem in Parsha Shmos, that Paro is not going to let them out initially. He's not going to let them out. And yet, he says at the end of Parsha Shmos, Lama hariosa lama ze lama ze v'shlachtani, why have you made things worse? Hello? Right? I mean, This is Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu with the inside information. This is insider trading, right? Hashem told him before that I wasn't going to let him out initially. So, what's the issue? Yeah, Lefisha Kvar Hodiya Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe says the Medrash Shlo Yaniachos Sam Paro Lelech. Hashem already told Moshe that they're not going to let him out. Shneim Vani Yadati Ki Lo Yiten Ischem Melech Mitzrayim LaHaloch Vani Achazekis Libo. He's not going to let you go, and I'll strengthen his heart. I'll give him the capacity to be able to withstand the pressure, and what he called not let you go. So this is not a chiddush for Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is he telling Lama Rose Lama Zeh? Why have you made things bad for the Jewish people? Lama Zeh Shlachtani? Why have you sent me?
Well, I mean, he could have thought that maybe it would stay the same, but now it's getting worse.
True. Okay, so
So maybe, so you say for I don't know. Okay. Accept it. Still, Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, we always get questions and recall the Bon Shalom. Elabal hischakim al gzerosov shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You hear this lashon? He's got tainas. He's got tainas on the gzeros of Hashem. V'hischil omer Hashem lama areos alam azeh. V'hischil adun lefonav. Right. V'al zeh ne'emar she'oso chokma v'da'a shel Moshe shel holus v'sichlus hayu. Right. His chokma over here is like foolishness. Right?
Moshe,
what do you call it? Vis-a-vis, obviously, the Ribbono Shalom. Ki Masha Adam Yavo Achrei HaMelech. You're going to second guess the, what do you call it, the king? You're going to second guess the Ribbono Shalom? V'chi Mahe Lo Laharer Achrei Midosar Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Asher Kvar Aso U'Masha Kvar Gila Lo. Hashem has already decided, Hashem has already revealed to him. Shehu Asid L'chazek Es Libo Bavur La'sos Lo Din. Hashem already explained to him that he was going to strengthen the heart of Paro, right? In order to do a proper din with Paro. Tachas Asher He'evidon Ba'avoda Kosha V'aldover Zebik Shemidas Adin Lefgoa B'Moshe. Midas Adin wanted to strike Moshe like he was in danger now. And here comes an interesting terminology, says the Medrash. That's why it says Hu Dechsiv Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, right? Loshen Kosha, Dibur, Elokim, Midas Adin. Vishin Ulafishin Istakel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked, Shebishvil Tsar Yisrael, that for the sake of the pain of the Jewish people, Diberken, he spoke thusly, Chazer V'Noah Gimol B'Midas HaRachmim. Therefore Hashem then continued the rest of the Pasuk, B'Midas HaRachmim. Who dechsiv, that is, which it says, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. And he said to him, right, what do you call it, the Lashon Amira, the Lashon of Dibur, Ani Hashem. So it's an interesting thing. Here, what do you call it? Moshe Rabbeinu is got tainus. Moshe Rabbeinu has got tainus. And what do you call it? And Midas Adin is going to be pogay on him, right? And what happens is, what do you call it? Hashem sees. Hashem looks at Moshe and sees that he did it because of the tsar of the Jewish people, and he switches his tune, and now he speaks to him Derech Rachamim. Very interesting.
Oh, Hashem changes his tune towards Moshe.
But yeah, towards Moshe. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem. He says to him, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. Says Sasemis.
Wait a second.
Yeah. This is Hasemes. Vayidaber Elokim. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Vamedrash. Vamedrash we just read. Hischil b'midas adin. V'roah shebishvil tsar Yisrael diber. Right? He started speaking to Moshe b'midas adin. And then he saw that what? That it was because of the tsar of Yisrael that Moshe spoke in such a fashion. Right? Chazar l'midas arachamim. And Hashem returned to midas arachamim. Asher chachamim yagidu v'shamanu mirabosenu, right? And it says the Sasemis, we've heard over the, what do you call it, from the chachamim over the generations, ki yitzias yitzayim hayatikun kol maise bereishis. The Maral talks about this idea, we talked about that the Eser Makos are there to rectify the Asar Mamoros Shenir Ba'olam, right? And there's the word called Asar Mamoros. The world is designed in such a fashion that we're meant to be able to find the Ribbono Shalom, although it doesn't slap us immediately in the face. We're meant to find the Ribbono Shalom in the world himself, in the world itself.
See how
right?
Can be connected.
Right, really, right, to find our connection, etc.
No. But first he's talking about Midas, he's talking about his previous mission. I was talking about the ten makos compared to.
He's coming to explain. He's coming to answer. Right?
I understand that.
Oh, okay, fine. I thought you were asking a question.
I'm reiterating the concept.
Oh, okay, fine. That's good. Okay, it was dry. Yeah, I used the other thing. We call it Jesus Christ. I had tikkun. Right, Jesus Christ is the tikkun of all my sabrachis. Right, you know the Esther Makos comes here. The Maral talks about this, and now he adds the klal hadvarim. The general principle of Yerusha B'Emsos, Eser Makos, Nitknu Asar Mamoros, V'Nase Achakach Aseres Adibros. In other words, the Eser Makos come to cleanse away, right, the cheap shellac that's been piled up on top of the beautiful wood grain of the Asar Mamaros. Cleanses it away.
What's the seven, is 10 sayings of the world?
Right.
For example, they were...
Right, the Bracious, according to Chazal, is what he called. I mean, the Bracious, the first mind, what he called. Every time it says, what he called, Ve'erilakim, in Parshas Bracious.
Uh-huh.
Right? So the Eser Mamaros, those are the, as it were, the expression of Hashem's will that this should be this way in the world. And since really pulsating at the core of the world is only Hashem's Ratzon, the world only exists because Hashem wills that it be. So then we're really meant to connect, right? We're meant to connect to require Hashem's presence through the Asar Mamaros. But piled up on this was years and years and years of Avodah Zarah and all sorts of bad midos and stuff like that. So it became less clear to the world. Now the Eser Makos is going to strip away, right, all of that garbage, and pave the way for the Aseres HaDibros, which is going to be the true Seder of the world, the ultimate Seder of the world, the Seder of the Torah, yeah, the Seder of Mitzvos. Asher al kein kamo shematzina b'bereishis abriya all of the machshava, and just as, hear what he says here, this is an unbelievable thing. He's being medayek, the Medrash. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the way he spoke. He called as tainas on the Rabbon Shalom. Midas HaDin wants to be pogan him. It says the Medrash, because Baruch Hu is mistakel. He looks at Moshe and sees that whether the reason that motivated Moshe to speak the way he spoke was because of the suffering of the Jewish people, and then it turns into Midas HaRachamim. He returns to Midas HaRachamim. It's the same pattern that we see in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Right? The first Rashi in Chumash tells us that the first pasuk starts off with Bereishis Bar Elohim. As the Shemaim Zaharetz, Elohim is Midas Adin. Rashi tells us that later on in Ma'aseh Bereishis, it starts using the name Hashem Elohim, not just Elohim, but Hashem Elohim. Hashem says Rashi, why? Because Olam Machshava Lavros Olam Midas Adin. The Machshava was to be borrowed the Olam, the Midas Adin. The Rosh Einu Chol Hiskayim, and he saw that it couldn't be Miskayim, right? And Veshita Bima Midas HaRachamim, and he joined it together with Midas HaRachamim, right? He joined it together with Midas HaRachamim. And just like in Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? Just like in Ma'aseh Bereishis, there's din in the Machshava. And then when it comes to fruition, it comes to fruition in the joining of Rachamim with din, right? Which makes really din possible to be fulfilled. Because there's no Rachamim.
So at time of creation, they couldn't see that all of din was going to be able to be good.
Oh, so now we go. So now we first let's understand that. It doesn't mean, right, that Hashem says, okay, all right, okay, I'm going to make the world read us a din. Wait a second. Let me think about that again. Maybe, I knew I should have thought about it more the first time, right? Or God forbid, where's the, right, now that's blasphemy. It's also stupid. What's worse? It's worse than blasphemy. It's stupid. Anybody call or record? Okay, we're ready. One, two. Ah, Shazam! It's just din. It won't work. What are we gonna do? We'll put it with Rachamim. Right, so that's like I said. Not only it's what do you call it? It's blasphemy, but worse than blasphemy, it's stupid. So what do you call it? So then the idea is that the machshava in the shorish of things, Hashem wants man to be zocha b'din. That's the best thing for man. And since the whole design of the world is that our relationship to Hashem should not be a freebie, what the Chazal referred to as a nahama de kisufa, bread of shame. Since that is the necessity for making the world the way it is, rather than just like, why doesn't Hashem just, you know, put us on the spiritual Riviera there, and that's it, and we're there, you know, basking on the spirit in the spiritual light of the, you know, the Ziv HaShechina, and everything's hunky dory. We'd have to go through a whole lifetime of ups and downs and difficulties and overcoming this and doing that and, you know, trying to rethink my position and da 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 da. Just put me there, because we'd always be what they call Nahama de Kisufa, bread of shame, bread of shame. And in order to the methodology for avoiding that is the creation of the world, through which man,
right, receives for the efforts that Barikui has done. It makes him more similar to his creator. It makes it part and parcel, much more a part of a fiber of his being, right, coming close to Hashem, etc. So that's Ma'isa Bereishis. So the Olav HaMachshava, as the Shorish is, what you call it, is that it should be B'vidas HaDin. Raw, when you see something, you see something on the outside, Kaviyachol. In other words, in the practical application of this, right, it can't be B'vidas HaDin, because man practically, Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz, Asher Ya'aseh Tov, Ilo Yechta, you can't even find a Tzadik in the Aretz who won't do one sin. And the minute you sin, you cut yourself off from reality, etc. So therefore, in Machshava, in the Shoresh, right, in the Shoresh of thought, right, the concept, the Shoresh of thought, it's B'din. In practical application, it's B'rachamim. So just like it was over there, what do you call it, with that in creation, so too says the Sfas Emes. Yeah, that's what's happening over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, but what's fascinating over here, if you think about it, there in Ma'aseh Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world. There's no one to talk to, right? It's just the Ribono Shel Olam. The inner Ratzon, what do you call it, the inner deepest, what do you call it, is that man should be Zocha, man should merit in Din. In the world of practicalities, in other words, in the world, when it comes to fruition, it needs a joining together with Rachamim. Otherwise, it can't be practically successful. Here, what's interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, he is like planing down the world, yeah, or taking his Homer Formby, wood finish remover. A different lifetime. What he called to remove the finish off the things. So he's going to restain it, right? He's going to restain it with his tongue oil, etc. Yeah, he's going to restain it.
Couldn't turn over here.
Yeah, thanks. So as he's doing it, so he's starting with Din, but it's not like this time. Well, it can't be. It won't work with strict din. It's got to work with Rachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu generates the appearance of Rachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, says, I can't bear the suffering of the Jewish people. I know what you told me before, right? But I can't bear the suffering of the Jewish people. Hashem says, the Medrash, he looks at Moshe Rabbeinu. He peers at Moshe Rabbeinu and sees that what's most motivating Moshe Rabbeinu.
How do you spell bear? B-E-A-R or B-A-R-E or B-E-E-R? I can't stand the bear.
I can't bear it. B-E-A-R.
B-E-A-R.
Yeah, like now the, you know, like
it's a bear.
I guess you get everybody called, look at the context.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Right, but he sees that it's so interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who generates the Midas HaRachamim here. Right? Hashem looks at him and sees that it's because of the tsar of the Jewish people that he can't take it. So therefore, the Midah changes from Din to Rachamim. Very fascinating. Really very fascinating. I dare say, it's because since this is paving the way to Kabbalah Satorah, so therefore, right, Lo b'shamayim hi, we're starting a path already here of where that which is going to emerge in the world is going to emerge via man's relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, there is no man, right, at the beginning. Bereishis bara Elokim, right, and then afterwards Hashem Elokim.
So I have a question. So
yeah,
not seriously. Yeah. So Hashem saw the Moshe's caring and changes the din to a
Rachamim.
So how is that in the practical sense? That means he lessened the shibud. He stopped the. He gave them more straw. What did he do there after that?
So it could be. I don't know.
So the din from changes from din to rock. I mean, so from strictness to more being softer.
Right.
So how did that help the Jewish people?
One thing is that what he called Aaron, it requires more of Aaron's presence together with Moshe. That the Sfarim talk about. Masas Emes talks about it. Not Moshe alone. Not Moshe alone. And how it would have been practically in terms of the Jewish people, perhaps, right, perhaps, just like over here, if Moshe, let's say, had been silent, right,
yeah.
And not said Lama Ra'osa, so then there wouldn't have been any question on Midas Adin. In other words, he's already dented Midas Adin. Instead of being accepting, he said, Lama Ra'osa, Lama Zeh. Would it have had practical applications afterwards? Perhaps, I don't know. In other words, perhaps it would have been more, you know, oh, it looks like the Creator's coming to save. Oh, no, back and forth. Like the Medrash says, not this Medrash, different Medrash says, Dome Dodi Letzvi, right? That the Goel, and that's the way it's also going to be when our Gula comes as well, is like a Tzvi, is like a deer.
Yes.
Very fleet of foot, right? You see him in distance, and then he disappears. You see him again in distance, he disappears. You see him again in distance, he's been there. All of a sudden, he's there next to you. And so too, in other words, the idea being, just like we saw over here, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu came, he speaks to Paro, things get worse. So that puts a crimp in things. And as they believed when he came that he's going to be gold, and then all of a sudden things get worse.
Right,
If he hadn't caved in, right? If he hadn't caved in, if what do you call it, the Shotrim hadn't said, you know, you made things worse for us. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes and turns to Moshe and he says, Lama Arios, Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh, Mr. Chathani. So that wouldn't have been, in an acceptance of the din and not, a frontal attack on the din. And conceivably, I don't know, but perhaps if he'd accepted it, maybe he would have gone a few more steps like that, perhaps.
Lord.
Yeah, what do you call appearance, disappearance, what do you call perhaps, I don't know.
Right.
But in any event, certainly at this point, right, because you realize that it's just like everything in Avodas Hashem, right? Everything in Avodas Hashem. Every time, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, that life is about being Mekayim Mitzvos, being Ovid Hashem, and being Omid B'Nisayon. When a person is Omid B'Nisayon, the Nisayonus of life, Every time he comes, he's like he's trying to rock climb. He's trying to reach up and pull himself up higher, right? So you're at that point. You miss, you fall. You don't miss, you're stronger, right? You're stronger. When a person, as it were, is successful in dealing with the nisyonos of life, so he becomes more strongly attached. So had they been able to withstand more of that Midas HaDin, right, then they'd be more strongly attached. Had they been more strongly attached, then Moshe Rabbeinu could have led them into Eretz Yisrael, and that would have been the end of the whole story, right? But since, what do you call it, he's rolling it back because he couldn't bear the pain of the Jewish people, so we need, as it were, to make it, more of a Derech Rachamim. This Midas HaDin is not endless. It's not endless. It's meant to build to a certain crescendo, but because Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't bear their pain. I can't bear their pain. So therefore, it had to be rolled back a little. Since it had to be rolled back a bit, what he called, therefore, they weren't going to enter into Eretz Yisrael on the same level that they would have entered had they been able to withstand more Midas HaDin at this point. Yeah? And the result is that's why Moshe Rabbeinu can't lead them to Eretz Yisrael. So he continues the Sfas Emes. Right? Thank you. He says, Lahavin, and to understand, Divrayim, the words of the Medrash here. Yeah? Ki chas v'sholom, shemachshavas Hashem yizbarach lo niskaima. Right? First of all, you shouldn't think that when it says, Olu b'machshav, levros olu midas adin, right? Lo asher yin yukho yizkaim, shitiba midas arachim. You shouldn't think that Hashem's will, right, is not fulfilled. Right? You shouldn't think that Hashem's will is not fulfilled. What is that? Let's say in creation. He wants to create the world with Din. Right? Then he says, okay, Midas Rachamim. So it sounds like, we trashed Din. Chas v'sholom. Or also over here. Like, Midas Din is there. Oh, Ilam Ariosa, because the Tzar, okay, Rachamim. It's not like he's recanting. Look at what he says here. Achein perish divrayim ki maisa bereishis befall efshar liskayim b'midas adin.
It's just that the Maisa Bereish in practical application can't be fulfilled by Midas Adin. Perish. Right? She's now go call a bruim. Not all living creatures, mamash, but mishpat, could live with strict mishpat. Because then we speak lashon hara, we disappear like the mosquitoes, you know, with those ultraviolet lights, you know. First of all, you know, people would be popping all over the place. Right? Whatever. Hashem has rachman. You hear this? Right? Klal Yisrael is at the shorish of the machshava of the rotzen of the borei in creation, because we are going to be the ones who are going to carry out His will. So, in the world of machshava, Klal Yisrael, right? Olu b'machshava l'fonav anachdu b'nei Yisrael tzrichim bevadai l'kayim hakol al pi haTorah. Ve'im omnam gam ze'iyach shel l'kayim befoal b'mayim rein tzadik atzir v'ar ba'aretz asher yaseh tov l'yechtov, right? Ki achisoron. Ki achisoron dovuk be'rikoru muchrach b'mata ma'ase im kol zeh b'machshava tzoruch lios muchan kol ish Yisrael mesiras nefesh. In other words, the idea of machshava, of Hashem's machshava is bedin. That's the way it has to be in our machshava. In our machshava, in other words, we have to be willing to be most nefesh, right? Willing, if necessary, to dial kiddush Hashem. In the world of practical application, we slip up, we mess up, what do you call, we stumble, we make mistakes, we do things, our yitzhar gets the better of us. But in the world of machshava, we're still there bedin. And that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the only one, right, who in their heart of hearts, yeah, is still attached to that acceptance of Hashem's din, totally. In their heart of hearts. In practical application, it doesn't always work out. But that's what it is. Just like in machshava, the Hashem is bedin, Klal Yisrael is there. Right? Considers our machshava as though we did it. In other words, when a person like us, we say Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The kavana, yeah, is that you're willing to, what do you call it, you should be willing to be Yosef Nefesh, you're willing to die Al Kiddush Hashem. Al Kiddush Hashem. And Kodesh Baruch Hu considers that like Maisa. Because that's the best that man is capable of doing in a general sense. Ube'emes kol ha-geula b'mitzrayim haya al pi adin. Right? Really, the whole geula in Mitzrayim was al pi adin. Ki mitzad shebnei Yisrael yizku b'din yecholim ligbor neged sonem. Kosh, etc. What do you call it? Amagbi, what do you call it? Okay, let's go to the next thing here. Hacheilu haya efshel iskayim b'pol b'din. In other words, in machshava, they had to be willing to accept the din, even if they couldn't live totally bedin. L'chem gam ata shitev midas harachmim, kanal. He says an interesting thing. In other words, really, right, really, the whole question was the whole problem. Why have you made things worse for them? And the Hashem wouldn't necessarily, he's saying, wouldn't necessarily have made it worse in practicality. But at least in acceptance, in our minds, we had to accept it, had to accept midas hadin. So it could be it wouldn't have been any worse afterwards. But if we'd accepted it, right? As you hear what I'm saying? And as you asked before, what would have been the practical application? Right? The practical application. The practical application could be that nothing would have been any different afterwards. The whole question was only at this point. Maybe only this was the only time. This was the only time when they had to accept the din. And it took place already. They weren't getting the straw. Things are worse. So now you got a choice. Do you, what do you call it? You cry out and say it's not fair, or do you accept it? They didn't accept it, and Moshe, because he couldn't bear their suffering, he also couldn't accept it. So now we're already close to the Seder. If we would have gone to meet his Racham anyway, but the moment that you had to accept the din, it already took place already. Right? They already had this letdown. The fact that pretty cool that Moshe shows up and then all of a sudden they're not getting straw anymore. If they'd accepted it and not complained to Moshe, and then Moshe in turn not got bent out of shape because of their suffering and said to Hashem, Lama Reos Lama Zeh, then it would have continued the way we see it in the Chumash now, not any different perhaps. It was just that one moment of acceptance within the Machshava.
So then according to this Vasem, what you're saying is, in actuality, the suffering of the Jewish people is not only for the Jews, but for the tikkun of the whole world. past generations.
Because we're
Mabel and everything.
Yeah,
else,
we're the spiritual heir. We're the spiritual heirs of Amor Rishon Kod Machet. Yes.
What we were the scapegoats.
Not the scapegoats. That's the way we call that. We're the spiritual heirs of Amor Rishon Kod Machet. But do you hear what he's saying here? He's saying that what he called. He says the machshava is what he called there wouldn't have been any more difficulties. The question is, you're standing at the crossroads now. What happened already, right? So now do you accept or do you complain? So they complained. They were angry. They said, look to Moshe Rabbeinu, look what you did to us. And then Moshe Rabbeinu in turn, because he couldn't bear their suffering, he says, Lama Arios, Lama Zeh, bang! Now what do you call that's it. So now we missed the opportunity to keep the machshava pure in acceptance of din. And therefore, it's going to continue Barachim, and it wouldn't continue Barachim anyway. It wouldn't continue Barachim anyway, he says. The question is, what have we looked at what took place already?
So two questions. What could have Yaakov's children could have done that brought it upon themselves to be slaves?
Who knows? I mean, that would call
it. Wasn't for just tikkun olam.
Yeah, that's just like that. We call. Listen, there's bris ben absarim, and there's Avraham Avinu saying b'mei daki yirashena, and then there's what he called there's mechiras Yosef. There's all sorts of things going on. Mm-hmm. Hey, all the cheshbonos we're going to figure out.
I like that chart.
Okay.
You get from there to there so fast.
Okay, it's there. Okay. So this is what he called. This is a very interesting yisod. An interesting yisod that, first of all, that the appearance. In other words, there anyway, just like in Maisa Bereishis, there was an evolution, as it were. We couldn't call it an evolution, but we call it the process of din, and then after rachamim, din b'machshava, and in practical application, rachamim, right?
Oh, it's the machshava. There's only two people in the times of creation.
No, begin creation before even the Adam was created. What do you call din? Because Hashem wants us to be zocha in the innermost ratzon. He wants us to be zocha b'din. But in terms of practical application, what do you call it? Requires rachamim. So too also here, the innermost ratzon that we should be zocha b'din. The practical application is rachamim. So the one point of our linking ourselves, the Jewish people linking themselves to b'machshava b'din, is to accept what took place already. It took place. It got worse for them. It got worse for them. So what do you call it now? What do? They complained. Moshe Rabbeinu got bent out of shape listening to them complain. What do you call it? He felt terrible for their suffering. He said, I can't bear it. What do you call it? Right? That was what he called it. So that was the there was a loss there of being zocha to the machshava, accepting the din.
Moshe's complaining.
Right. Not complaining, whatever. He's not being able to bear the suffering of the Jewish people. Okay? So that was lost at that juncture. And therefore, Yitzhak Rabbeinu would continue anyway, but derech harachamim. The question is, would we accept the din, right, in the first step? We didn't. And therefore, right, we're missing, etc., the way things unfolded. Okay. That's one bit. It's one very fundamental idea. Where you see how important it is, right? How important it is, you know, b'machshava to accept. It doesn't mean that we have to.
Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu actually knew about his actions were affecting the whole decreto creation?
Yeah,
like a normal person.
Of course he knew. I mean, you know, I don't want to get lost in too many things. Yeah. It says, I was in last week's parsha when Hashem told Moshe that don't worry about Aaron's kavod. Ruachava samach b'libo, like what we also did. We did in Tillim last Motzei Shabbos. Ruachava samach, he'll see you and he'll be happy. So Medrash says, Rabbeinu Bachya brings it down in Kisavo. He says that. The Medrash says that if Aaron had known that they were going to write about him,
right,
he would have gone out to be with a brass band. So they understood that, how much I don't know. But this is a very interesting thing. This concept they talk about here, that if we accept what took place already, if we accept what took place already, b'din, then that, what do you call it, then that paves the way for the, what do you call it, for the rest of being Barachamim.
So remember, Eddie, if we accept
what took place already, Bedin,
would have brought Rachamim.
It brings the practical appearance of Rachamim afterwards. Because remember,
that's really the history of all Jewish people. If Adam and Rishon only would have waited one more second,
right, okay, and the Chlami, right? But here, this. Remember, we did that pasuk in Tilim, right? Mishmua ra lo yira, nachol nibo batuach b'Hashem. From evil tidings, he will not fear. Nachol nibo batuach b'Hashem. His heart is well established in record in. What? No, not there. That's what he called in Kuf.
Okay,
right? Yeah. From evil tidings, you will not fear. His heart is well established in the fear of Hashem. So it says what he called. So the Gemara says you can read the pasuk in both directions. Right? The way it's written, Mishmul Ra Lo Yira, Nachon Libo Batuach Hashem. And you can also read it the other way. Nachon Libo Batuach Hashem, Mishmul Ra Lo Yira. You hear this?
Therefore,
yeah. So in other words, the first thing is Shmua Ra Lo Yira. Something not so good happened. Shmua to hear. Oh, your bad tidings.
Okay.
Shmua Ra Lo Yira. What do you call it? But I'm not afraid. Why? Nachon Libo Batuach Hashem. I have Bitachon Bashem. Right? I know Hashem is running the world. Right? I accept it. Right? I know everything he does is Latov. It may not be a pleasant experience, but I know it's Latov. Then the Gemara says you could read in the other direction also. I'm not afraid that something unfortunate, unpleasant is going to happen.
Okay.
So when you think about it, like why? Because once you've made your peace with what took place already, you accepted it, bedin.
In your own previous.
Right, in your machshava. It already took place. You accepted it. Right? It's really called in the world of din in the machshava. It's straight. I accept it. Right, I know Hashem is running the world. I know this is not caprice, and I know it's everything He does is latov. And I march onward. Therefore, when I march onward, my assumption is going to be because I have bitachon b'Hashem that nothing bad else is going to happen. Nothing unpleasant is going to happen because I'm because in the machshava, you hear, it was in the machshava before I accepted it. So then I don't assume that when he calls that something bad is going to happen afterwards, because that's the way of the world. The way of the world is machshava, is bedin, and mais is barachamim. That's an unbelievable thing. That's a real ha'ara. That's the pattern. And in other words, everybody called it, had Bnei Israel, had Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Right? Had he accepted it. Again, what motivated him is because he couldn't bear the suffering of the Jewish people. But if there had been a total acceptance on all fronts, then the Rachamim would have come anyway afterwards. But it would have been built upon a foundation of acceptance, b'machshava of the din.
I think so.
That perish in the Gemara there that's the way Cook explained what he called that.
Because he said he's going to give the 10 makos.
So I understand the 10
makos is only going to be. The power will change.
I understand, but I'm saying, but what he called it's built upon, and this is like you're building something upon a flat platform. It depends. How do you pour the cement? Right? What's going to take place afterwards is going to take place afterwards. But the question is what's the foundation? Is the foundation built upon what do you call it, a strong acceptance of the din, or what do you call it, built upon a weaker acceptance of the din? Okay. Let's see here. There is a fascinating Kedushas Levi. I think we talked about it once, or maybe we never got to it last time. This is really fascinating. Look over here. This is also pointing out different aspects of Hashem's Hashgacha in the Parsha. Very interesting. Here we're talking about Tzvardeya. Right? It says Vayikra Paro LeMoshe LaAaron VaYomer HaTiru El Hashem. Paro called Moshe Aaron, he says, Davin Tashem. This is after the Tzvardim already appeared.
Yaser tzvardim mimeni umeami, and remove the tzvardim from me and from my nation. And I will send out the people, and they will be makriv to Hashem. Vayom Moshe laparo. What do you call Moshe to Paro? He'd pay Eralai. New, try and make it, make yourself bigger than me, right? Dare me to do something that I can't do. He'd pay Eralai. You want to show yourself that you're more in charge than I am.
Moshe
to Paro. How do you want me to do this? Lamataya Atir. When should I daven for you? Uvlavadechan for your servants, Amcham for your people, Hachrisat Tzvardim, to get rid of the Tzvardim, Mimchomi Bavatecha, Rakba Yor Tisharna. When should I do it? Tell me, what do you want? Vayomer Lamachar, tomorrow, right? Vayomer Kidvarcha, as you say, said Moshe Rabbeinu, Laman Teda Ki Ein Kashem Elokeinu. In order to know, Ki Ein Kashem Elokeinu, no one is like Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? That's over here. This is in Tzvardim, right? This is in Tzvardim. Where Paro wants to get rid of the Tzvardim, Ibn Koshbein says, really close, so fine, make yourself look like big hot stuff here.
That's at 12 o'clock, right?
Right, whatever. He told me he could record. He didn't want to do it today, because he thought Moshe Rabbeinu was with Kishuf, can last a certain time a day, he didn't think he could get it to last tomorrow. I said, fine, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And that's Laman Teidaki Ein Kashem Elokeinu. This other pasuk here. Now, this is by the Orov, right? By the way, animals. This is before the Makkah, right? This one over here is after the Makkah, and the way Moshe Rabbeinu davened to get rid of the Tzvardim. This one over here is before the Makkah. V'flesi v'yom hu es eretz goshen, asher ami omeid aleha, levilti heyos sham arov. When the arov come, when the wild animals come, I'm going to make it in such a fashion, right, that the wild animals will not enter the land of Goshen. Leman teida, in order that you should know, ki ani Hashem b'kerva arts, to know that I am Hashem in the midst of the land. Okay? Okay, so here's the first one is to know that there's no one like Hashem Elokeinu, and then the second one is to teach us that I am Hashem in the midst of the land. Fine. The third one, third group of pesukim we're looking at over here, is by Borod, right? By the hail, right? By Yishlach Paro, by Yikra Lemoshe Aaron, by Yomar Aleim, Chatasi Apam, I sinned, right? Hashem HaTzadik, V'ani Ami V'Rashim.
Paro says, I sinned.
Right, so Paro says, I've sinned, right? Hashem is the Tzadik, and I and my people are the Rashayim. Admission. Right? Hashem is right, I'm wrong. Ha'atiru El Hashem, pray to Hashem. V'rav V'yos Kolos Elokimu V'rod V'ashalcha Eschem V'lo Sosifun Lamod. Pray to Hashem to stop the hail, right? And I won't keep you anymore, I'll send you out. Says Moshe, V'yomrei love Moshe, Kitzesi es ha'ir, when I leave the city, Ephros es kapai el Hashem, I'll stretch out my hands to the Ribbono Shalom, Hakolos yechdalun v'avrod lo ye'od, right, the terrible boomings and the bard will stop, Leman teida ki l'Hashem ha'aretz, to know that the whole earth belongs to Hashem, right, to know the whole earth belongs to Hashem, V'ata v'aladecha. And as for you and your servants, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, Yadati ki terem tirun mipnei Hashem Elokim. I know you really don't fear Hashem properly yet. Right? And as he knew, I know you're not going to send them out.
He says that too?
Bobo says that to Paro.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yadati ki terem tirun lifnei Hashem Elokim. You don't have proper yira for Hashem. Okay. So again, by Tzvardeya, in order to know that Hashem is what he called, there's no one like Hashem Elokeinu. Nothing like Hashem Elokeinu. The second one is to know that Hashem is in the midst of the Aretz, in the midst of the land. And the third one is to teach us that that Hashem, right? Hashem is the whole land belongs to Hashem. Everything is his.
But he still went through with it, even though he didn't believe it.
Even though he knew that the Paro wasn't going to make it right. But that's going to be exactly the point. Says the Kedushas Levi. Is Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. Goes to Psukim. Brings a Zohar. Zohar says, Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon. Umi Valadai Ein Elokim. Pasuk in Yishayo. I am the beginning, I am the end, and there is no other force other than I.
Right?
Who says that? The Rosh. It's written in Yeshayahu. I am the first, I'm the beginning, I'm the Rishon, I'm the first, I'm the beginning, I'm the Acharon, I'm the end. And aside from me, Ein Elokim, there is no other power. Right?
There are above in it, and I am no other power.
Ani Rishon, v'ani Acharon, umi Beladai, and other than me, Ein Elokim, there is no other power. Right? Okay. That's the pasuk in Yeshayah. Says the Zohar, Ani Rishon, da Cholom. Ani Rishon is the dot on top of the Vav, the O sound. Ani Cholom. The Cholom. Right? What do you call it? The dot on top of what do you call it in the Vav? The Cholom.
Cholom is world.
No, not Olam. Cholom. Right? Called, what do you call it? The O sound when you know Olam. The Ayin Vav, the dot on top of the Vav.
That's still the world.
No, I would just do the word world. What do you call it? To say Bore. You know, there's a Beis Vav. The Vav on top of the Vav is a dot.
Yeah.
So we call that dot, that O sound on the top, is called a cholam. Right? Cholam. Okay. Ani, what do you call the dot on the top is called a cholam. That's Ani Rishon. I'm the first. I'm the beginning.
And what word is it referred to?
Doesn't make a difference. Any word. What do you call he's just talking about the dots. He's talking about the Nekudos. The Nekudos. The cholam represents Ani Rishon. Ani Acharon, da Chirik. Ani Acharon, I am the end. That's the Chirik.
What's
the Chirik? The Chirik is the E sound, little dot underneath. In other words, we got the dot on the top of all the what are called letters. That's the O sound. The dot right at the bottom of all the letters is the E sound, the Chirik, E, right? Elokim da melafom shurak, and Elokim bibaladai ein Elokim. That is the U sound, right?
So what do you call it? In other words, you got the right, you got the dot on top of the letter, you got the dot on the bottom of the letter, and you got in the middle of the letter, the U sound. Right? Nachon?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Zohar says. Says the Mikot. Says the
what's the middle? There is no other?
No, the little, we have Bibaldayin Elokim. And other than I, there is no other force.
No other.
Okay. Right, that's the Zohar. Let's see. Okay. So, record, he says like this.
The Kedushas Leib on the O and the E.
Right, right. He says the first case over here, right, the first case over here by the Tzardea is that he's going to daven to remove the Tzvardeim. Right, leman tida ki ein kashem elokeinu. In order to know that re ein kashem elokeinu. So this one, let's see inside. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Amar leparo b'makos hatzvardim. He'd pe'er alai. I'm trying to make it difficult for me that you know I can't do something. Vayomer kidvarecha, and then he says, I'll do it like you say, exactly said. Leman tida ki ein kashem elokeinu. Ki hashem elokeinu. What does it mean hashem elokeinu? Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is what he called Yudkei Vavkei. Elokeinu means he's Mashkiach and Klai Yisrael Bashkocha Pratis. Ein Hashem Elokeinu. Hu Morish Hu Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael. Right? Elokeinu means Mashkiach and Klai Yisrael Bashkocha Pratis. Sha'olu Machshava Tchila. Because since Klai Yisrael are what he called, they're marching to the beat of a higher drum beat. Yeah, in this world. So therefore Hashem is Mashkiach Ableinu Bashkocha Pratis. Hu Bishvilam Nivru Kol Olamas, and for the sake of the Jewish people, all the worlds were created. V'hem reishis ha-machshava, and we are the, what do you call, the shoresh of why creation is taking place, that there'll be people who will hear Hashem's word, and what do you call, live according to Hashem's word. V'hem mispire Hashem is baruch, and Hashem takes pride in us, kov yachol. Right? He takes pride in us, the nearest people. V'lachach omer Moshe Rabbeinu al v'sholem l'par, he'd pa'er alai. Come try and make you like yourself look bigger than me. L'masaya atir, when should I daven for you that have them go? Klomar, shodia l'par sheyesh koach b'tfilas ha-tzadik lif'ol ma sheheim rotzim u'mahabchim midas adin l'midas ha-rachmin. The whole point over here was to show that because I'm, what do you call, from, I'm representing Klai Yisrael, we have the capacity to change, right? To change midas adin to midas ha-rachmin. Hashem Elokeinu. Right? Hashem with Mashkiach Alinu Bashkach HaPratis, he hears our tefilos, and because we are the ones who march to the beat of his drum, right? And therefore he hears our tefilos, the Tzvarim are going to disappear.
V'gam Hashem Yisbrach Oslem L'ami Yisrael Nisim and Yiflos L'malam in Ateva. It's L'malam in Ateva. Right? Well, here the Tzvartim, they're all there. They're all over the place. And because Hashem listens to our Tfilos, boom, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. He says, that's what he called, that's the first, that's the O sign on the top. To point out that the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people have been gifted from Hashem with the capacity through their tfilos, right? To do nisim, to do miraculous things because they're marching to the beat of a different drum. They're marching to the beat of a higher drum beat. That's the O sound. The Orov, right? Which was the next one.
What the O sound is that people have been...
They're higher.
Because we have...
Because since we are, what do you call it? Because since we are marching to the beat of, to the drum beat of Hashem, therefore Hashem hears our tefillos, he's mashgiach l'nam shkocha pratis, and therefore the tzvartim is going to disappear. The whole, what do you call it, like that. Because the whole point is to show the koach tefillah.
Oh, that's why
I should have said, right. You dare me, what should I do? When should I daven? Anytime you want, tell me, I'll daven. You'll see I have what koach tefillah I have. That's the O sound, to show that the Jewish people, right? Hashem is responsive to the tefillahs of those who daven for the Jewish people, instead of because the Jewish people are on a higher level. The Arov, right? The lesson was Laman Tidaki, and the Hashem Bekir Varetz. This was before the plague took place. You'll see that none of the animals are going to go into what he called the Goshen. That's to show that Hashem, right, called Hashem's divine providence, even in the workings of Teva, right? Even the workings of Teva, right, are fine tuned for the Jewish people. So that's Umi Baladai in Elohim. Umi Baladai, there's no other force other than me. In other words, even in the world of Teva, but the Arum, the wild animals, are not going to enter the Goshen. Now, there's nothing that per se looks miraculous like that, except that it's really good. It is within the world of Teva, they just didn't go in.
It's not clear enough.
In other words, remember, this is really cool. Anirishon.
The frogs were also in the Teva.
No, the frogs were really cool. The frogs were, first of all, were a miraculous thing. But aside from that, the point was, the frogs are really cool. The frogs are all over the place, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to show through his koach tefil, he's going to daven, and the frogs are going to go.
Stop.
Right. Here, in the Arov,
yeah,
right, but Moshe Rabbeinu is not davening now. He just told him before, you should know, that when the Arov come, they're not going to enter into what he called into the land of Goshen, where the Jews are. So in other words, everything looked normal, like the animals were walking around, but they just didn't go in over there. So it shows that's the Baladai Ein Elokim. There is, in our regular world over here, even though if miraculous things are happening, you are overcoming there, but they don't enter into the land of Goshen, you don't see, per se, a tefillah or something miraculous taking place. You see, they just don't go in. There is no other koach, other than the koach of Hashem. Baladai Ein Elokim.
I don't see the proof.
Because the animals, like let's say the animals came, which is miraculous.
They didn't go into Goshen.
Okay, but they didn't go into Goshen. They're not going into Goshen. Doesn't per se look miraculous. I mean, it is miraculous, but it's not like they all of a sudden began to fly, or all of a sudden the ground opened up and they fell into the ground, or they shot them into the heavens or whatever it is. They just didn't go there. In other words, so that shows that even when things are being conducted according to Hateva, right? There is no other koach than Hashem. So therefore, Hashem says, you're not going to go further than this, don't go further. It's a keel. There was a fence around it, like, you know, a
say that Hashem's in control of Teva?
Right. Okay? Hashem runs the Teva. That's the middle sound, right? The top sound is the tefillah, right, of the Jewish people overcomes everything. That's the O sound. The U sound, right, the Bedichever is explaining the Zohar. That's what he calls that Hashem is in the midst with us, right, in the world, what we see as Teva, right? But that he's the only power there, and therefore nothing happens without his will. And the final thing is to show that the whole, what's the last of the Lashon is? The last Lashon is Laman Teda Ki Lashem Ha'aretz, that everything is Hashem's. Everything of Hashem's, including you, right? Including you, you're also connected. Rekwal to Hashem, you only are here because of His will. How does that show it? It shows it because Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Rekwal, I'm going to daven so that the bard stops. But you know what, right? This is even though, right? As you just said, Ani Hashem atzadik vani ami arishayim, right? You said, you admitted that Hashem is a tzadik. And your people, and you and your people are Rishayim. Yeah. And I know, Moshe's bringing it to, I know you're still not going to let them out.
Right.
But it doesn't make any difference because, what do you call it, that Hashem, you should see that Hashem is there for any person. For any person. Right?
Even
for you. But because at least you admitted that, what do you call it, that Hashem is a tzaddik of Niva Amir Hashem, because Hashem, the whole world is his. It's all his. And everything is connected to him. And just to, what do you call it, to show that connection even to you. Right?
Right?
That's what he called. That's the last of you. Laman tidak ki Hashem aretz. Everything belongs to him. There is nothing that is not within Hashem's control, and that is not attached to Hashem, that doesn't need Hashem, etc. Even you, right? Just because you admitted that Hashem is the tzaddik and your people are the Rishayim, and even though I know you, I'm not, this is not going to gain me anything, because I know you're not going to let them go anyway. But just the fact that you, what he called, that you should see that Hashem is there for you too, that's why, what he called, that's where the tefillah. That's why the is chirik, underneath, in the bottom, right? Like in the bowels of the earth, everything in the lowest points. The lowest points also belong to Hashem, and He's there for those, even those lowest points as well. So it's very interesting things in about Hashkacha here. Very, 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 very,
very, very nice.
Okay.
Now that you brought up the E, the A sound?
That's the Tzera, but that's not what the Zohar was talking about there. They all have representation, right, in Kabbalah. All the different sounds, right? Okay, we should have a good Shabbos.